Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Two podcasts back, we started looking at specific short New Testament books to get a feel for how one might preach them. And we said last podcast that we would be looking next at the book of Titus. So we encouraged you to read that short letter of Paul's so we wouldn't catch you off guard this session. If you haven't yet read the short three chapters of Titus, please pause this podcast and read them now. Having read through the book, what was Paul's bottom line for writing this letter, David?
Well, Paul is writing to Titus, who is a minister under his tutelage. And because that's his specific purpose, it puts kind of a funny read on trying to preach this, because he's writing to a minister. He's not writing to a congregation. So if you're asking what he's writing to Titus, he's saying, you're going into a pretty tough church situation, Titus. And then he lists in that first chapter some of the bad things about the situation where he's going to be. And he says, I want you to bring about the right kind of mature Christian leaders in this church so it will have an ongoing life. Most of the time, we're not, as ministers, preaching to an underling in the ministry. So then the question is, how do you take a book like this and give it a different spin, which is, what is Paul saying to Titus that would be helpful to a church? Then you're in a whole different arrangement. But if you say, what is his reason for writing? The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then he gives details regarding that. So that's why he's writing it. And it's conceivable, if you're preaching to a church and you're talking about an election of leaders, this would be a very good text, because it tells what you're supposed to look for in terms of elders and so on. But the result of his specific reason for the letter is that he's encouraging Titus as to how to be a good minister. Now, if you're saying, I want to tell you what Paul said, how to be a good minister, well, that's not an appropriate message for a given congregation for the most part. So you're going to have to come at the book in a different approach then and say, okay, what is good for a congregation? And at that point, you have a whole different audience. We don't really talk that much about audience, Dean, but you have to say, you know, am I speaking to a select group? Like I've been asked many times to speak to ministers, this would be a great text to use. Am I speaking to a civic group where there are all kinds of non-Christians and Christians both present? Then you have to say, okay, what is my audience? For the most part, we avoid it, because almost every time we're speaking to ministers who are going to preach to a congregation primarily of Christians. So at that point in time, if we look at Titus, depending on the audience, you'll take a different approach to it. Am I making sense in terms of what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so now what he's saying in terms of the audience that I would draw on, the word that he comes back to a lot of times, and I don't know if I saw it the first time I looked at Titus, but I certainly see it now every time I go to the book, is do what is good. That's in the first chapter. It's in, rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good. And then he's talking about elders at that point in time. And then he says in the second chapter, teach what is good. He says, in everything, set an example by doing what is good in your teaching. The last part of chapter 2, he says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And then in the last chapter, chapter 3, it says, be obedient, be ready to do whatever is good. In the verse here, which is verse number 8, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And then the verse that I kind of hooked onto in the last of the chapter 3, verse 14, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. So that's obviously a word that is unusual to that book. And if I were doing something, I would say probably if I would have preached Titus as an instruction to a congregation, I would say that The joy of living a productive life comes as a result of devoting oneself to doing what is good. And I think that gives a good theme for the book. Now, can you get other themes in the book? You can, because Titus is one of those that is clear. If you say, what is Paul writing to Titus? It's very clear, and you can pinpoint that. But when you begin to take all of what he's saying to Titus, it goes in a lot of different directions. So if I was trying to find a unifying theme, I'm not sure everybody would say that's the one they would choose. I would probably choose that. And I really like that phrase he uses at the end of chapter 3, that we may not have unproductive lives. I find that as I've worked with people, it's extremely important to them that they have productive lives. When they get to the end of their life, I'm in my mid-70s, and I want to look back and be able to say, I lived a productive life. I think Rick Warden hit on something, when the purpose-driven life, you know, what is it all about? Well, living a productive life means that you devote yourself to doing what is good, and doing what is good day after day after day after day, doing what is good in the name of Christ, it should result in a great sense of satisfaction that I have not lived in vain. I have lived a good life. I have touched many people, and just by doing what is good each day, that's been a positive thing and a very satisfying thing. So that probably would be the theme that I would take. But I also would say, Dean, that there are many places in this book where there are snippets where you could take something out of the book, and it would make for a very good sermon. For example, in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. That's a theme that you could go on. It's no problem. It's not the overarching theme of the whole book, but it's certainly a theme you could work on. To be obedient, and then he said again, to be ready to do whatever is good, and to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, to show true humility toward all people. So there are all kinds of directions that you could go, and those could all fit under the rubric of doing good or whatever. So you have to say, okay, what am I going to pick, and what is the overarching emphasis that I'm going to give to it? And I would again say, first of all, tell me who the audience is. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, if it's a normal congregation and you're teaching the book of Titus, I would say probably the theme I would go after is to not live unproductive lives, but to be able to say at the end of the life, I did well in terms of what I was asked to do. So I'm just kind of giving possible directions that you could go with a book like this. But the purpose of the book, as far as what Paul was concerned, he was trying to instruct how to bring order out of chaos in Crete in terms of the church there.
So what you're saying about audience is something I want to explore just a bit more with you, audience or congregation, if we want to put it in church language. The reality is that when a pastor is a long-term individual ministering to a congregation for a period of time, anything from as little as a year up to some folks that have a blessing and privilege, and others might say curse, of being there for 30 years, gets to know the congregation and where they are spiritually and realizes that there's a wide range of spiritual maturity among the people. And part of the responsibility a pastor has is to craft sermons that appeal to the various levels of maturity. But there are certain truths that can be used to evoke a response at various levels of maturity, and this is certainly a text that would fall into that. Would you agree with that assessment? Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course I would.
Okay, so when we look for a response, we're looking for a statement of general response or a general sense of response, and sometimes the shaping then of the effectiveness of the sermon in evoking that response is when you get to the how-tos, because it's possible to have how-tos that appeal to different levels of maturity. For example, if you took these two verses in chapter 3, you could think of a number of examples of how to respond to that that would be appropriate for different levels of spiritual maturity.
Yeah, there's no question. Basically, with Titus, I would probably say, why are you wanting to teach Titus? And maybe you're saying, well, we're going to have an election of elders. I'd say, well, Titus is a good book. It's a good section in Titus as to what to preach to that, how to help the people make the decision as to who the elders would be, or how to appoint, depending on what your situation is. But again, if you're going to say, how do I make this appropriate for all of the people, all ages, I wouldn't necessarily choose the main theme of what Paul is saying there, is I'm going to teach you how to bring order out of chaos in the congregation, because that's not really where most people are. And in that sense, I think the idea of How do I devote myself to doing good? As a junior high student, that works very easily. You can give illustrations of that. The great satisfaction it comes when you say, all the kids were in the class, but we had a newcomer, but nobody went over and said hi to the newcomer. And I, having been through that experience, I'm talking about a junior high student maybe, went over and said, what can I do that would make you feel more comfortable here? Well, that's a good thing to do. It doesn't sound like a special a Christian thing to do, but it is a Christian thing to do. That's easy to do. You could do the very same thing if you say, we have a new employee who's come in. Let me tell you about some of the people who are here and what you'll enjoy about them. So you're doing the good thing, and it can apply to all different ages. You know, the same thing, almost the very same thing could be true in terms of if you're in a retirement home and someone new comes and they feel out of place and you're the one who says, I will do the good thing. I will go over and welcome them and make them feel at home. So yeah, the whole of what the general truth is doing good. That is a profitable thing to do so that at the end of life you say, I didn't live my life in vain. But it comes a lot of times from the daily acts of being who God wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big theme to do for a congregation. I think it's also a theme that isn't preached enough by ministers. Just the simple acts of doing good are a huge part of what being Christian is about.
Yes, the ability to define what goodness is.
Mm-hmm.
We use that word good a lot, but we don't define it effectively within the context of our Christian faith.
Yeah, and what has to happen is that a very easily definable word, not necessarily in Paul's letter, but for the average minister who just thinks through, not just what does this mean for me, but for my people, that has tremendous encouragement to individuals. Yeah. Not only did God notice it, but I'm learning to notice it myself. I think some people do good all the time. It's amazing the amount of good they do, and sometimes they feel like they never do enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just for them to be able to say, you have done well all your life. I've noticed this is how you have acted time and time again. And that's a very comforting message to give to people. So for the most part, when you think about Titus, you don't think about it as being an encouraging or comforting or self-actualizing message, but it is.
Yes, indeed. Indeed it is. Well, what do you think we ought to take a look at next time?
Well, you know, basically what we're saying to people, Dean, and this is, if I go back to bottom line, is you're trying to get the big truth of what is here. And I think a lot of times when I hear preachers preach, they get all kinds of ideas that come into sermons, but I don't get the big truth. So the big truth out of Titus, if you're preaching to ministers, is you got to appoint people who are spiritually mature. And these are the kind of things you look for. Even in chaotic situations, if you get mature Christian leaders, you'll be able to stabilize it and give the church a long life. In terms of what it means to a congregation, one of those themes you could pursue, because it's definitely there, is continue to do good. And over a period of a lifetime, that adds up very well, and it will stand you in good stead, not only in a life to come, but it'll give you a great sense of satisfaction in your life today. And you don't have to wait until tomorrow to start doing that. Just look around. What's the good thing to do? That's what Christians do. So we've looked at books and said, let's get the big truths out of those instead of getting caught up in minutia. And there's a lot of minutia here, just because it goes in so many different directions. I would like to be able to go to the book of Galatians. That's okay. A long book. People will have to look at it, read it through. It takes a while before you say, what is the big truth in Galatians? And then not only what is the big truth, but how do we make it practical? Galatians is a book where you can get bogged down, and in a very short period of time, it's going to sound like a presidential debate. Yeah. And people are going to say, you're talking about things I don't understand. Because if you get into too much detail, you overwhelm people. So let's look at Galatians and say, what is the big truth that we're working on in terms of Galatians? And we can't read it all through because it'll take us too long to do it audibly. So people are going to have to read it ahead of times and then try to say, okay, what's the big truth we're dealing with here? And how do I relate that to our congregation? What's the target audience and so on?
Very good. So our assignment, read through the 6 chapters of Galatians for our next podcast, and you'll be ready to go as we share with you exactly what God has laid on our hearts in this regard.
Did I swamp you in terms of Titus, or are you able to say, okay, I think I could preach Titus, depending on my audience?
I think I could preach Titus according to the guidance that you've given, and particularly this idea that you've been talking about even for next time, of finding what is the big truth. What is the big truth of this passage that can have a positive effect on the spiritual formation of my congregation. And even from a book like Titus that is directed toward someone we would consider to be a pastor or a minister, there is truth there that applies to the individual Christians. The reality that ministers are to see to it that churches have the right kind of mature Christian leaders certainly is supported by the big truth in the book of Titus.
And I would also say that the joy of living a productive life comes as a result of devoting oneself to doing what's good. And yes, that's a big truth that is in there, more congregation directed.
Indeed. Next podcast, we'll look at the book of Galatians. But to save time, we need you to read through the 6 chapters of this book before we come together. After you've read through it, decide what the subject is and what is the desired response. We thank you very much for joining us for our time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.